Last Thursday morning, I thought about Solomon, and I thought about the writings of the wisdom literature as I was with my wife. I was going to say we were walking the streets of Savannah, but that just sounded better in my head than it came out. But as we were in Savannah, we went into an art shop, and the artist was there. And it's rare when you go into an art shop and the artist is actually there. We spent some time talking to her. She's a lady who grew up and in the Sea Islands, and her art is all about trying to preserve Gullah culture, which is a Sea Island culture in Georgia. And one painting that she had on the wall that I could never afford struck my eye, and then she had these prints for a lot less, and I found it, and it's a father and his son staring into the sunset. There's a bucket of fish, and you can see that they've got some fish in the bucket, and there's a fishing rod, and they're holding hands, and the picture is entitled Sun Rays. And on the back, she talks about the father pouring his life into his son and pouring the culture into his son so they can continue on. And I thought, you know, as I thought about the passage you read in Proverbs and what we're going through here in Ecclesiastes, and I thought about this father coming down to those latter years of his life and making sure he has poured all that he can into his son so that the son will carry on. And yet as I look at the book of Ecclesiastes and I see the struggles of people to try to make ends meet, the struggle of the teacher to try to figure everything out. And he says, I searched out everything, and we come to a passage where the teacher says, I searched everything, and I sought everything under the sun. And in this passage, he's going to tell us about the fool and how the fool lives their lives. We all have stories, don't we, of that friend. You know, the kid in high school, maybe the college classmate, maybe even somebody in the neighborhood, may have been a coworker, may have been a neighbor, that person that seemed to just live life on their own terms. Nobody's going to dictate to me about what I'm going to do. I set the rules. I live life on my own terms. And everyone else kind of looked at this person. Some tried to follow them because that kind of a person can sometimes be cool to hang out with until they're not. Because the minute someone feels used or manipulated by the person who lives life on their own terms, they back away, and the response of that person is to say, I don't need you anyway. That kind of person is found in the Bible. We're going to look at their characteristics in Ecclesiastes 10 today. But in the book of Proverbs, they're even talked about at a greater extent. Here are some of the characteristics of the person that the Bible calls the fool. And by the way, when you hear that word, don't just think it means mental acumen. There are some really, really smart people who are fools according to the Bible's definition. You see, the fool is typically very mouthy and has a tendency to speak first, to tell you what's exactly on their mind without considering the consequences. The fool is a person that has no trouble slandering someone else. The fool is the person that says, my way is the right way. It's not even my way or the highway, it's my way, get out of my way. The fool will only take their own advice and instruction. The fool listens to no one else. And the psalmist tells us that the fool denies that there's a God, because in the fool's mind, he or she is the God of their world. We need to remember something else about the fool. Being a fool is a choice. It's not necessarily part of someone's DNA. Being a fool is a choice. The fact is, in the Bible, the fool can choose to change, but typically it's their stubborn will that says, I'm going to go my own way. And we also need to keep something else in mind. As the old song says, everybody plays the fool sometimes. There's no exception to the rule. Initially I entitled this sermon Living in the Real World, but I've added a subtitle in my mind, Living in the Real World, Surrounded by Fools. So turn with me to Ecclesiastes, and we're going to pick it up in verse 9, chapter 17, because we get a contrast. Listen as I read a couple verses, and I'm going to kind of work my way through chapter 10, stopping to explain things about the fool. And I don't want to scare you, but I've got like 11 points, and so we're going to kind of move through this today. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 17, listen to what the teacher writes. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. And the first thing I learned about the fool is that the fool has a stinking reputation. Remember a few weeks ago we were in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and remember what the writer said there, what the teacher said, a good name is better than fine perfume. Well, here he uses the perfume metaphor, and he says, that person who has that bad character, that person who's a fool, is a person whose character is like flies in perfume. It gives it a stench. And in fact, a little folly, that foolishness, can outweigh any wisdom or honor the person may possess. A fool's character is such that it overshadows anything possibly good. It's kind of like opening your refrigerator and seeing all this good food there, but realizing that the night before when you sliced only half an onion, you put the onion in the refrigerator without sealing it, and now all you smell is the onion. You forget about all the good food because you're going, oh, that reeks. And that's the word picture of a fool. Their reputation overshadows anything good. It's a stinking reputation. Verse 2, the writer says, the heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. I'm going to say this now, and I'm going to say it again. Do not read 21st century politics into this verse. Remember, Solomon wrote before you and I existed, so he wasn't thinking about that. You've got to understand it in its context. In the ancient world, to sit on the right hand of the ruler was a position of honor. It was a position of authority. It was a position of power. To sit on the left hand, not so much. The right hand was the symbol of power and blessing. Isaiah will say, quoting God, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The right hand was the hand that you wielded the sword with. It was the symbol of power. The left hand was also often the symbol of cursing and injury. And those of us who are somewhat left-handed, like myself, feel kind of ostracized here. Even in your New Testament, in Matthew 25, when Jesus is talking about that great scene where the sheep and the goats are there, and the sheep, those who followed him, were put on the right side, and the goats were put on the left side. So what is Solomon saying? What does this tell us about the fool? It tells us how he views life. The fool is always inclined to that which is away from God. The fool is inclined to that which sees life from a faulty perspective. So the fool tends to move towards, see things, as the writer would say, from the left side. And the left side is the side of cursing and injury. The fool's heart moves him away from anything that pleases God. It's not about politics. It's about character. The writer goes on. Even as fools walk along the road, they lack sense and show everyone how stupid they are. A fool lacks common sense. It's really not that difficult to walk down the road. The fool is one who's foolish because everyone else can see that they're a fool. The fool is foolish because everyone else can, not only if they can't see it, he goes ahead and lets them know it. Many years ago, I found myself standing in the security line in the main airport in Moscow, Russia. And it's an international airport. There's a lot of people there. If you've ever traveled internationally, you can pick out the Americans. We are loud. And if we're all wearing the same t-shirt, we're probably a church work group. But anyway, over here in line was a businessman. Yeah, I'll tell you, I have everything I need in this laptop. If I ever lost this laptop, I'd be sunk. My whole business would be shot. Yeah, you know, I don't like Paris very much. Now, Amsterdam's a great city, but I just don't like Paris. And he just goes on and on and on. And I'm thinking, you just told everybody that there's valuable stuff on your laptop. Do you think that there are people here that don't speak English? I mean, it was just on and on. I thought, when I read this, I thought, that's the fool. What a lack of common sense, you know. Why not tell us your PIN number, too, you know. It's 54438, BR544, here it is, you know. And I just thought, wow. And the sad part about it is, he's the only one that didn't know he was being a fool. And that's the point that the writer's making. When fools walk down the road, they lack sense. They just show everyone how foolish or stupid they are. Now the teacher goes and makes some broader observations. Verse 4 through 7, listen to this. If a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great offenses to rest. There is an evil I've seen under the sun, the sort of error that arises from a ruler. Fools are put in many high positions, while the rich occupy the low ones. I've seen slaves on horseback, while princes go on foot like slaves. Now again, we have to understand context. But the point that I believe that the writer is making in these verses is that sadly, fools can be found in leadership. And verse 4 is a little awkward. That's kind of an awkward transition, but it really is talking about the wise servant. The wise servant doesn't fuel the anger of the leader. And the wise servant, when the ruler is angry, the wise servant finds a way to stick it out, to stay there, to stay involved, and maybe to bring some calmness to the situation. But the teacher said, here's something that I observed that is an evil. That ruler, that same leader, put fools in positions of authority. Now, in that day and age, the wealthy had the opportunity to be educated. The wealthy had the opportunity to have resources and to learn. And so what he's saying is that sometimes a ruler who puts people in high positions that don't have the training or the resources or the background to make a difference, to enhance the ruler's leadership, to enhance the people that they are to lead. I was drawn to 1 Kings chapter 12 as I read that. Solomon's own son, Rehoboam, had all the privilege, had all the opportunity, had all the training. Part of me wonders if some of the Proverbs we read were written to someone like Rehoboam. My son, listen. My son, pay attention. 1 Kings 12, Solomon dies. Rehoboam is put on the throne. The representatives of the people come to Rehoboam and they said, your father was hard on us. Give us a break. Lighten the load a little bit. Rehoboam goes to the elderly, to the advisors of his father, and says, what should I do? And they said, you know, listen to them. They said, listen to them. Give them a break. You know, lighten up on the taxes and on the load that you have for them, and they will follow you forever. Rehoboam then goes to the crew, the people he grew up with, the kids that hung out with him, the privileged. And they said, dude, this is your chance. You show them that you are strong. Do not back down. You tell them, my father was hard, I'm going to be harder. My father was strict, I'm going to be stricter. You haven't seen nothing yet. And he took the advice of the younger, and the kingdom of Israel was separated and divided and never came back together again. A fool put in position of leadership who brought in other fools to advise him, and he destroyed it. Sadly, fools can be found in leadership. Verses 8 through 11, interesting word pictures here. Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Whoever quarries stone may be injured by them. Whoever splits logs may be endangered by them. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. If a snake bites before it is charmed, the charmer receives no fee. Fools can be found in the workplace. These word pictures here are all of workplace accidents. It's like an ancient OSHA. The fool rushes ahead and doesn't think about the consequences. So as a result, somebody's digging a pit, and they don't think about two things. When you're digging a pit, you've got to think about, A, where you're putting the dirt, and B, your exit strategy. Because after a while, you've got to climb out of that pit. And this fool did not think about where he was putting his dirt, nor his exit strategy, and when it came to try to get out of the pit, he fell back into it. In the ancient days, animals would make their homes inside adobe walls and stuff. And, so the fool just starts digging in and starts hammering. And boom, he breaks through the wall. And there he finds an unhappy snake who attaches itself to his hand. When you're cutting stone or cutting logs, you have to use safety precautions. You have to think about it. When you're doing stuff that requires equipment, you better sharpen your equipment. A dull axe, you're going to work hard, not smart. The fool doesn't take care of their equipment. They don't think about safety. They just plunge ahead. The fool is not patient, and therefore they don't apply any skill. We don't have a lot of snake charmers these days that I'm aware of. But when you think about that whole enterprise, you probably want to train the snake. It seemed to me that would be important. You probably want to practice a little bit. This is somebody who rushed their product to market just a little too fast, and the snake wasn't trained properly, and the owner got bit, or worse yet, someone who was going to pay money to watch the show. A fool in the workplace rushes ahead. A fool in the workplace does not listen. A fool in the workplace does not pay attention to training. A fool in the workplace ends up causing injury. The writer goes on. Verse 12. Words from the mouth of the wise are gracious, but fools are consumed by their own lips. At the beginning, their words are folly. At the end, they are wicked and madness. And fools multiply words. No one knows what is coming. Who can tell someone else what will happen after them? Wise people speak. Their words have impact. When a wise person speaks, you know there's depth there. When a wise person speaks, they can correct you even with grace. Along the banks of the Fox River in St. Charles, Illinois, is a little slice of heaven designed by Robert Trent Jones, known as the Pottawatomie Golf Course. The fourth hole of the Pottawatomie Golf Course is a beautiful par three that runs right along the river. One beautiful summer morning, I stood on the tee of the fourth hole of the Pottawatomie Golf Course and gazed at my golf ball as it flew into the air and then began to drift to the left and eventually made a perfect splash, a 10, right into the water. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that. What? I hit that ball so well. Oh man, I slammed my club in. In my group was our friend Joel Sisson and an elderly gentleman who had just kind of caught up with us on the first tee. I walked over to the drop zone. I dropped a ball. I chipped it in there. It hit the green. It rolled off. Oh, man. What a mess. Now I'm lying four. Oh. We finished the hole. We walked to the fifth tee. And talking out loud, but not really addressing anyone, the elderly gentleman spoke. You know, my son's a golf pro in Arizona. And one day he just said to me, Dad, you're not good enough at this game to get mad at it. And that's all he said. Never said another word. We talked about a lot of other stuff. I was totally rebuked. Fools offer no sound advice. When a fool starts talking, Solomon says, when a fool is so consumed by his lips that the beginning of his words are foolishness, and if he keeps going, it's complete insanity. The fool is eaten up by his words. They're incessant. They're directed to making himself look good. There's no respect of anyone else. He starts the point from foolishness and just keeps adding and adding to it. Notice verse 14. No one knows what's coming. Who can tell someone else what will happen after them? No one knows what lies ahead, and it's the incessant talk of the fool that just keeps getting them in trouble. Have you ever made plans that you couldn't carry out? And made promises that you couldn't fulfill, and made even maybe put things on the calendar that you had to go back and change? Maybe you haven't, but this fool has, and has to know that, you know what, it's time to step back and say, I don't make plans on the fly. Why don't you give me a call tomorrow? We'll look at calendars. I've had to learn to do that. There was once a point in time when I was sitting at our other church, and I was getting ready to use the golden pipes to read into a microphone the voice of God. And I had also scheduled myself to speak to the middle schoolers. My beloved wife slips up behind me and says, God, you scheduled yourself to be in two places. How are you going to figure this out? That's the fool. I don't know what's ahead. Instead of planning and thinking, they just rush. Yeah, I'll do that. Oh, sure, I'll help. Verse 15, the toil of fools wearies them. They do not know the way to town. Woe to the land whose king was a servant, whose princes feast in the morning. Blessed is the land whose king is of noble birth, whose princes eat at a proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. Fools are self-indulgent. The regular work wears them out. The fool's not industrious. The fool wants to get as much they can for as little effort as possible. And so regular work wears them out. And then Solomon says, this is not just a moral laziness. It's an intellectual laziness that lacks common sense. They don't even know the way to town. In that day and age, every road led to a town. If you don't know the way to town, then you're not thinking. But he goes on and he says, the self-indulgent ruler, the land whose king was a servant, whose princes feast in the morning. This was a ruler who was self-indulgent. A ruler who stuffed his face with feasting whenever he desired. A ruler who had no sense of propriety. Compared to the wise ruler who understands propriety. The wise ruler who says, we use food and drink for strength so that we can lead. The wise ruler who says self-indulgence will ruin anyone that's connected to, and it has no staying power. Fools are self-indulgent. Fools miss important realities. Through laziness, the rafters sag because of the idle hands, the house leaks. The word picture is a picture of a house that's falling apart. Why? Because the owner didn't take care of the little things when they happened. The owner neglected the little things. And so he neglected to clear off the top of the flat roof. The rafters begin to sag. And in that day and age, when your rafters begin to sag, it starts to put cracks in your roof. And if there are cracks in your roof, and then you come into the raining season, you're going to have leaks in your roof. And since the houses were made of probably mud and dirt and clay, if you've got leaks in the house coming through the rafters, eventually your whole roof is going to collapse. Sometimes the important things are the little things. And the fool misses those because of idle hands. A feast is made for laughter. Wine makes life merry, and money is the answer for everything. I would say this is the life philosophy of the fool. This past week, we happened to see the historical viewpoint of those who believed that money made everything better. We were on Jekyll Island. Jekyll Island, at one point in our history, but at the end of the 19th century and about halfway into the 20th century, was the place of the rich and the famous. There were a total of about 53 members of what was called the Jekyll Island Club. The Jekyll Island Club is now a large hotel, but at the time, some of these people, like John D. Rockefeller, like Frank Henry Goodyear, like Mr. Macy, who started the Macy stores, and you could go on, had these cottages, and we'll put that in air quotes, had these cottages on Jekyll Island. These cottages dwarfed, I'm looking around, yes, they dwarfed all of your houses. You could probably put two of your houses together and maybe get to one of their cottages. The one that stood out to me was Frank Henry Goodyear, not of the Goodyear Blimp Tire Company. Frank Henry Goodyear was a lumber baron from Buffalo, New York. Frank Henry Goodyear started out, as so many of these people did, he did not start out with money. He started out with virtually nothing and worked hard and bought up land and built this lumber empire. His brother joined him. They bought railroads. They were expanding from not only out in Pennsylvania, they were moving down and beginning to find lumber areas in Louisiana. In 1906, at the age of 57, Frank Henry Goodyear launched onto two building projects. One was a large home in Buffalo, New York, that would be a symbol of his wealth and prestige, and the other was a large cottage down on Jekyll Island. Now, you need to understand, in those days in the 1900s, for these people to get to and from the island, they had a boat, a large ship. They would bring their servants. There was an accountant cottage that we went into that's now a gift shop. There was the chauffeur's cottage that they had. There was a larger dormitory for the single servants, and there was the cook's cottage, and they brought it all. Goodyear's houses were complete in 1906. At the age of 58, he died 1 year later. Money didn't solve anything for him. And the life of the fool is that I have the wrong priorities. Just eat all you can. Live your life. And as a result, ignore those important realities and just live for pleasure and for wealth. Verse 20. Do not revile the king even in your thoughts, or curse the rich in your bedroom, because a bird in the sky may carry your words and a bird on the wing may report what you say. Fools have no sense of discretion. Fools don't care about who they criticize or who they gossip about. Fools are so into themselves, they could care less. They are so into their opinions that nobody else's really matters. You could modernize this verse, couldn't you? Don't post thoughts about your boss on Facebook. Charlene has a saying, if you won't put it on a billboard, then don't send it in an email and don't post it online. And that's kind of what they're saying. The fool has no discretion. They don't care. And as a result, they can bring themselves to ruin. So we have all these characteristics of a fool. Let me just give you the teacher's remedy in the next few verses, and then let me give you a New Testament remedy. The teacher continues on in verse 11, in chapter 11, with some wisdom under the sun. Ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you may receive a return. Invest in 7 ventures, yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Can I summarize that for you? Diversify your investments, the teacher says. Don't let yourself be controlled with what you can't control. Work hard all day long and let God bring the results. And under the sun, that is really good advice. But I thought about the idea that we don't have to be a fool. We can each choose the path of wisdom. Let me give you some words of wisdom. First, from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. I'm not going to make a lot of comments on this. I just want to let the Word of God speak. We see on the one hand, and notice I went to the left, we see on the one hand the characteristics of the fool. Let's look at what God says. Who does God want you and me to be? Paul writes, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Later on, just the next book in our New Testament, he wrote to a group of believers in Colossae. And in chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. No one has to be a fool. By God's grace, we can and should choose the way of wisdom, which for you and me today is the way of Christ. Would you stand as we pray? Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for the great wisdom of the teacher. Although his wisdom was limited to under the sun, it is still wisdom that we can take stock in. We thank you, Lord, for reminders today And as we go into what you have for us this day, this week, may we go in thinking about what we say, thinking about what we do, thinking about how we respond, and may we respond and live with godly wisdom day by day, moment by moment. In Jesus' name, amen.